In case you haven't heard, my brand new book, Feel Good Productivity, is now out, and it's actually a New York Times and also Sunday Times bestseller. So if you've ordered a copy, thank you so much. If you've read the book already, I'd love it if you could leave a review on Amazon. And if you haven't yet checked out the book, you might like to consider checking it out. Okay, so part three of the book is all about how to be sustainably productive. And in this bonus episode of Deep Dive, I'll play a short segment from chapter 7 of the audiobook, which talks about the various kinds of burnout that we suffer from. Being sustainably productive might mean doing less today so that we can do more of what matters tomorrow. When people say burnout, the image that comes to mind is an investment banker working 18-hour days in a Manhattan tower block, or a full-time parent juggling 7 jobs to feed 5 hungry mouths. So when I found myself lying face down on my sofa on Christmas Eve 2020, telling my mum that I couldn't work another day, I was both upset and a bit confused. It was 3 years since I'd left medical school, 2 years since my disastrous Christmas Day shift, and a few months since I'd taken a break from medicine to focus on my business. A glorious few months that had culminated in this, me FaceTiming my mother the night before Christmas, moaning about my life. By this point, I was giving all my attention to my company. I had my dream job, running a small team to create something I loved. Things should have been going great, but somehow they weren't. Even though my business was making way more money than I would have ever earned as a doctor, I felt sapped. For months, it had felt harder and harder to motivate myself to keep things going. What was once super enjoyable had started to feel like a chore. And because I'd been dragging my feet, my work had started to suffer. What was going on? I used to love my work. Now I was drained just thinking about it. So here I was, telling my mum about it. At first, she said exactly what I expected. You should have stayed in medicine, Ali. She'd used that one before. And then she said something that I hadn't expected at all. It sounds to me like you're going through burnout. My first thought was, surely not. I was familiar with the idea of burnout, obviously, but I'd never thought that the word would apply to me. I wasn't working desperately hard to make ends meet. I wasn't even doing anything particularly intense. What right did I have to feel burned out? But over the next few minutes, I listened as my mum, a psychiatrist, explained that burnout isn't just a thing that happens to overworked people in stressful jobs. It can happen to anyone when work stops feeling meaningful, enjoyable, or manageable. When you're burned out, you feel overwhelmed and under-motivated. You feel like you can't keep up the pace, no matter how hard you try. After hanging up, I decided to take her advice, for once, and find out more. The previous year, I discovered that the World Health Organization, the WHO, had redefined burnout. Burnout was not just a stress syndrome bound up with working yourself too hard. It was much more everyday than that. According to the WHO definition, burnout is an occupational phenomenon characterized by, quote, feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion, increased mental distance from one's job, or feelings of negativism or cynicism related to one's job, and reduced professional efficacy. And crucially, it isn't related to the number of hours you're working, it's about how you feel. In time, this would lead me to an epiphany about productivity. For a couple of years, I'd been mindful of the importance of having a good time in getting things done. Since my first months as a doctor, I'd known about the feel-good effects of the three Ps, play, power, and people. And in the years since launching my business, I'd gotten better at unblocking myself, overcoming the uncertainty, fear, and inertia that had once made me a chronic procrastinator. But now I realized there was something missing, because the more fun I built into my day, the more I was taking on. And the more I took on, the closer I got to the final great obstacle to true productivity, burnout. If I couldn't find a way to make my work and my life last, then all my research into the secrets of feel-good productivity would be for nothing. I'd mastered the basics of productivity, but I hadn't yet mastered sustainable productivity. So I started reading. And the more I read, the more I realized that there are three common forces that make us feel worse and in turn lead us to burnout. They're easy to confuse with one another, but they're fundamentally different. First up, there are the burnouts that come from simply taking on too much work. Your mood is suffering because you're packing too much into each day. I call these overexertion burnouts. Next, there are burnouts that relate to a misguided approach to rest. Your mood is suffering because you haven't given yourself the deeper periods of time off that you need. Not just little breaks throughout the day, but the longer breaks that recharge the energy of your mind, body, and spirit. I call these depletion burnouts. Finally, there are burnouts that relate to doing the wrong stuff. Your mood is suffering because of the weeks, years, or decades when you've put all your efforts into something that doesn't bring you joy or meaning, and it has worn you down. You've been using your energy in the wrong way. I call these misalignment burnouts. In the days after that FaceTime with my mum, I started to realise that I was suffering from a little of all three. I was doing too much, I wasn't resting properly, and many of the things I was doing for my business weren't bringing me meaning anymore. In every case, my mood was suffering, and so was my productivity. But a few days after that, I realised something more heartening, that each of these problems was solvable. Overexertion burnouts and how to avoid them. I chose to start by focusing on my sense of overexertion. I realised that, for some time, I'd been taking too much on. At first, I wasn't sure what to do about this. I couldn't just give up on my business after all. But then I caught a glimpse of the solution. Shortly after that meltdown to my mum, I found myself listening to an interview between Tim Ferriss and world-renowned basketball player LeBron James. I'd never been much of a basketball fan, but I soon found myself in a research rabbit hole watching clips of the LA Lakers on YouTube. As I learned more, I chanced upon a fascinating insight, that it's almost like there are two versions of LeBron James. First, there's LeBron the sprinter, the man who can gain possession of the ball at one end of a basketball court and, before you can blink, be standing beside his opponent's net. The man who can run at 17 miles an hour. The man who's one of the fastest NBA players in history. And then there's LeBron the walker, the man who lackadaisically wanders the court when he isn't in possession of the ball, and the man who sees no need to run when he does get it. Why would he, when he'll routinely hit the basket with shots from over 10 meters away? Many commentators thought this contrast explained LeBron's frankly weird longevity. LeBron had dominated the NBA since the mid-2000s. In a field where athletes at their prime play for an average of 4.5 years and an average of 50 games in their seasons, LeBron's been playing an average of over 70 games per season for 19 years. How was he able to sustain his position over a multi-decade career? The answer, it seems, relates to all that walking. Sports analysts have trawled through reams of on- and off-court data for LeBron and other NBA players and spotted the same thing. Although he's a man who can sprint at the speed of a car coursing through the suburbs, LeBron is, on average, one of the slowest players in the NBA. In the 2018 season, his average speed during games was 3.85 miles per hour, more or less walking speed. He ranked in the bottom 10 of all players who played for at least 20 minutes per game. During the regular season, he spent 74.4% of time on the court walking, a time unmatched by almost anyone else in the league. Unexpectedly, LeBron James offered me my first hint as to how to overcome my sense of fatigue. Overexertion burnouts, I realized, come from the negative emotions that arise when we do too much too fast. We accept more work than we can do and fail to take the breaks in our working day that we require. We sprint all the time. The solution? Follow LeBron's lead. Conserve your energy, do less so that you can unlock more. Key idea number one, do less. In 1997, there was only one thing anybody wanted to ask Steve Jobs. What happened to OpenDoc? Over the previous 5 years, Apple engineers had worked hard on the software platform, which they thought would revolutionize the way users created, shared, and stored their files. And then Jobs returned as Apple's CEO and cut the program almost immediately. At the time, many thought that Jobs had made a historic blunder, but he justified it in straightforward terms. People think focus means saying yes to the thing you've got to focus on, he said, but that's not what it means at all. It means saying no to the 100 other good ideas that there are. Innovation is saying no to 1,000 things. Jobs' message was clear. No was just as important as yes. I'm actually as proud of the things we haven't done as the things I have done, Jobs said. It was the right call. Over the next decade, Apple would go from strength to strength, becoming, by the time of his death in 2011, the most valuable publicly traded company in the world. This lesson is important for the rest of us too. Do any of the following sound familiar? A friend asks you if you want to go for dinner next week. You have a big deadline that day, but you're sure you'll be finished by then. The day in question rolls around, and you're miles behind on your work, you can't possibly go. Or a colleague tries to schedule a boring meeting in a few months' time. You definitely wouldn't have time now. But by then you certainly will, right? Until, that is, the meeting is suddenly tomorrow and it completely derails all of your other obligations. Or a friend asks you if you want to play your favorite video game right now. You're working on a massive task that you know will take weeks, but the deadline isn't for months. Naturally, you find yourself playing World of Warcraft for 6 hours. 8 weeks later, you've missed your deadline. In all of these cases, we're suffering from a simple problem, overcommitment. It's the first way we set ourselves on the path to overexertion. We say yes to things in the present, but in the long term, they're going to grind us down. It's easy to see why. Overcommitting is simply too easy, but that doesn't mean it can't be resisted. I hope you enjoyed that little snippet of my brand new book, Feel Good Productivity. I had so much fun recording the audiobook in a studio in London. It was a lot of hard work, but quite a lot of fun. And so if you fancy listening to the entire book, it is available to purchase wherever audiobooks are sold. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode of Deep Dive.